May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In the book of Acts, in chapter 1, chapter 2, in light of God pouring out his Spirit, doing this new thing, it says in verse 5, as these people were filled with the Spirit and they were speaking languages they never knew, and it says, now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were bewildered, because they heard each one speak in their own language. And they were amazed and they were marveled. And later in the same chapter, and they said to each other, we hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? They're asking honest questions, seeking God. But others, among the devout men who were there, were saying they are full of wine, and they were mocking them. I mentioned this Sunday, and what I'm doing now we'll probably do in a few weeks at CTK. But I just saw something in that chapter again, in those words again. The word, I'll just read this to you first. This is from Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The same word used about those devout men in Acts chapter 2 is used about this famous old man, Simeon, who was the first one to say, to recognize Christ as Christ was being presented at the temple. And the word devout is an interesting word. The word devout means to receive something and to hold on tight to it. It's kind of the word cautious. It means that you love God so much, you hold tight to that relationship. It's important to you. Like there are sometimes people will give us something or we'll buy something. It's not of great value, so you're kind of irresponsible with it and misplace it. But there are some things in our lives that are so important to us that we've received them into our lives and into our homes, and we treat that thing like we never want to let go of it. We want to make sure that nothing happens to it. That's the difference. And so what it was saying about those guys in Jerusalem, as it was saying about Simeon, is they loved God. They held tightly to their relationship with the Lord. As I mentioned Sunday, there were three feasts when Jews from the whole area, region, different nations were supposed to make a pilgrimage, especially the men, to Jerusalem. And one of them was Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. And so these were all men who spoke different languages, but they were Jews or Jewish converts, proselytes, who were devout. The very fact that they were there was proof that they loved God. There was a commitment to God. And so they loved him, and yet you had some of those ones who loved him who were amazed and perplexed at what was happening, but they were astonished at what they were seeing in front of them that had never been seen before, and they're asking questions, what does this mean? They want to know. But you have others of the devout people who loved God, these devout men, who mocked them and said, they're misbehaving. This is error. This is wrong. They're drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, what is the difference? Because we know that the Scripture says that the first and great commandment, we recite that every Eucharist, we talk about it all the time, have for years. The first and great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. But he doesn't say it's the first and last commandment. It's the foundation place, but it's not the only thing. And I thought, well, what is the difference between those devout men who love God, who are saying, what does this mean? They're inquiring. And those who mocked and said, these people are doing something wrong, they criticized. Because you see, I see it in the body of Christ today. I see it among people who love God. I see it among preachers and pastors and Christians who love God. And there's a foundation about where they love God, But they have a tendency to not want to seek anything new and to criticize anything that's different, according to different than what they believe or what they've concluded is true. And I thought, what is the difference between the two? And I thought about Simeon. Here's this old man, because men have a greater tendency for this. I think that's why God even put that story. These were devout men. Women as a whole are much easier. They flow. They're much more bendable. They've given birth. You can do anything if you've given birth. You know, you're open to anything. But men have a tendency to be rigid and to get more rigid as they get older. And they feel comfortable with what they believe, and they stand and mock and criticize the things that they don't get. Yet while there are others who love God too, and they're like going, man, what is this all about? They're amazed. They're curious. It said about Simeon that says this, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the result was the Holy Spirit was upon him. You see, loving God is the first thing, but it's not the only thing. They also needed the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to have passion for him, but he also wants us to have his power so we can do the things he's called us to do and live the Christian life supernaturally. All those disciples loved God. All those in the upper room, the 120, loved God. But they needed more to empower them to live a Christian life, to be set free in their own personal life and to help set free others. And so to one is to be in love with him and be empowered by him, but that one group wasn't open to anything more than what they had. They love God. And if you ever say anything to them, hey, brother, there's sister, there's more. Oh, I love God. Don't tell me I don't love God. I know you love God, but there's more because he loves you. So there's more, all kinds of stuff he wants to give you. Well, here's the thing about Simeon. He was looking for something. And the result of his looking, the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit never came upon those devout men in Acts who weren't looking. They weren't even open. Why was he looking? Because the very next verse says about Simeon, for the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he wouldn't see death until he saw. What was driving this old man? Promise. You see, there are some people who will read the Gospels. And they'll read the Gospels and they'll go, that is a great story to tell about Jesus, yada, yada, yada. But then there's other people who love God. They'll look at the story of Jesus doing those things. They'll go, they'll be like Peter. Well, can I walk on the water too? They didn't just settle to see Jesus walking on the water. Everything they see in Scripture becomes a promise to them. Oh my gosh. When you say follow me, does that mean like follow you? I get to do what you did? When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, the guys in the boat sat there. Peter's thinking, is this not just the sight of you conquering? Maybe it's the sound of an invitation, of you calling. Can I do that too? And driven by promise, he stepped out and he sunk. But he's the only one who has a story that he walked on water. Do you see the difference? People who love God and something happened is new and they'll step back and go, what does this mean? Is this something I can do too? Because they live by promise. They still have hope for more. They haven't lost childlikeness. But then there are others who, they love God, but they don't live by promise. They don't open the Scripture and go, the Holy Spirit's revealed to me, wow. They don't read the book of Acts. Like, wow, this is the manual for every Christian in every generation? They'll discount it. Oh, well, that was a one-time thing many years ago. You can't draw any kind of theology or any kind. Really? Does it mean the person doesn't love God? They love God. They don't live by promise anymore. And if you don't live by promise, you don't live with a sense of hope and expectation, and there's more. That's the difference. People who love God that are looking, that get promises. They see everything as a promise. And those who love God and don't want anything more than they have already because they don't want to risk anything. They're afraid or they're cynical or whatever, but they love God. And they criticize and mock everything that doesn't look like what they do. May we never be like those people. right? We want to be people of promise. And if you're people of promise, you believe in Narnia. You believe in happy endings. You believe in miracles and signs and wonders. You believe in possibilities. Because you see the scripture full of invitation, not just information. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to surround myself with people who live by promise. God, surround me with the Simeons. Because the Holy Spirit's upon those people.